Welcome to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Jody Peterson. On this week's edition, we're taking a look at how the school year is going so far. The COVID-19 pandemic has upended much of our daily lives, and that's especially true in education, where teachers, parents, and students have had to adjust to new procedures, changed expectations, and different ways of learning. To get a perspective on those changes, I spoke with a student at Paonia High School, administrators for the Delta County School District, and a parent and teacher at the North Fork Montessori School. First, I spoke with Carmen Rodriguez, a 10th grader at Paonia High School, and, full disclosure, an intern at KVNF. I asked Carmen how school was going this year, with students splitting attendance between in-person classes and online learning.
So they split us up into two cohorts. I'm a B-track student, so I go every other day, and when I'm at home, the A-trackers are at school. And when I'm there, it's just like a normal school day, but half of my school is gone. And then when I'm not there, we have to like check into Google Classrooms to take attendance, and some teachers do lectures, some teachers let us do worksheets, but it's a little all over the place when we're home alone.
How does it feel compared to a normal school year? I mean, do you feel like you're learning as much as you have in previous years?
I don't know. It's just chaotic. It's a new way to learn. And I feel like I've learned about the same amount, just a little more effort, you know?
When you're just learning online, do you feel like you're missing out on things that you get in a classroom experience?
It's kind of a class-by-class thing. Like in math, you know, we make do with doing a lecture, but you can't really yell out or ask for help. Like you can, but it's just not the same. So with those classes where you really gotta comprehend it, it can be a little tough. But then other classes, I honestly like it online more. Like English, you know, I can just like get it all done in like 5 minutes and be good and then go and do something else for that class period.
So how does it feel like socially since, you know, you're not seeing half of the people that you normally would?
You know, it's pretty weird. Like, Paonia, at least, is such a small school already that it's like, now I'm seeing 10 of the 20 people I normally see, you know, in my grade at least. And, I mean, socially it's been a little weird because some of my friends are on the other day, so it's hard to, like, find the time to see them. It's just like, you still have high school problems, like, who you're going to sit with at lunch, but then also in a pandemic. So it's just a weird, heightened environment, I guess.
Do you feel like there's anything positive that's come out of this?
I guess I'm really learning some time management skills. And, you know, like I said, I do kind of like online sometimes more because I feel like I have more freedom to just, you know, get all my work done and then like go for a walk or go into town or something. I'm not just like stuck there. It feels like a better use of time, I guess. Since we're like split up, some teachers really have to like do double the work to make sure we're not falling behind. So we're never not busy, which I like because then now there's no busy work. There's no just like worksheets for worksheets' sake.
How do you feel like, you know, other students are dealing with this? Do you think that your experience is kind of what a lot of people are feeling as students?
I know that there are definitely some kids that like they don't have good Wi-Fi at home or they're just using the Chromebooks the school gives us or which can be like super slow sometimes, and it can be difficult when there's like technological issues. So I know that a lot of people have been really struggling with that. Some people, like they don't have Wi-Fi at home. There's just things like that that we just assume everyone has, but you don't know what anyone's home life is like. And this is probably really affecting some people's learning.
So Carmen, how are you feeling about all these changes?
It's crazy. Like I definitely, usually in a normal year, I'm like on top of things. And this year has been like chaotic. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, you can't even describe why it's so stressful, but there's just so much happening and nothing happening at once. It's easy to fall behind in classes because it's like math is still boring, but then we're also like at home on a laptop and in a pandemic or, you know, out there and we miss half our friends. And it's just like there's a lot more added to it.
And that was Carmen Rodriguez, a Paonia high schooler. Next, I spoke with Delta County School District administrators, including Karen Gibson, the superintendent, Kurt Clay, assistant superintendent, and Jim Farmer, human resources director. I asked Karen what the school year had been like so far.
We're very excited about having our students back, but it's also been very challenging. and, you know, making sure that we offer the rigor and educational experiences along with the social distancing that we need to do, making a health safe environment for all. So some of the challenges is just the consistency within the school district, since we have five different communities. But it's going well, and I'd like to say that our staff are working really hard and doing a great job, and our students are also doing a good job working with us in this time.
How many students are learning solely online?
We're about 4,700 students total, and we have, what is about 420 online, and the rest are in person.
With all those students that are online, do they all have access to the technology that they need?
They do. So we're 1-to-1 Chromebook 5th through 12th and working on that 3rd through 12th. We've ordered additional Chromebooks. Our families more or less have internet, Wi-Fi connection. If not, we work with them either with a hotspot or get them in communication with DMEA or someone so they get internet. We have not had a lot of people complaining about the Wi-Fi and internet, so we feel pretty lucky there.
And so the rest of the students are in class every day?
At our elementary level, they're in person 5 days a week. And then our middle schools, they're on a modified block or a block schedule, meaning the hours are longer, and students are in cohorts. And then at our high school level, we're currently in a hybrid model where half of the students are in person, the other half are at home in remote learning. On the next day, the students that were at home are in class. And so every other day, there could be a chance that we go back to 100% in-person learning. We're hearing that a lot of parents want the in-person learning, plus we have protocols and procedures, and it's working at our middle school level and our elementary. So there could be a chance that we go back to 100% in-person learning. And I made it very clear in the restart plan that's ever-changing, and we'll keep updating that and evolving.
Have you had cases of COVID in schools? Have you had to shut down any schools?
Yes, we've had a couple of cases of COVID within. We've had to shut down a couple cohorts at a couple elementary schools in Delta. So those 16 students were out for about 5 days total. And then we had a staff member who had COVID in one of our other elementary schools in Delta, and we did have to shut some of those cohorts down as well. So we have experienced that, but I will say that our plan has worked very well. And again, the whole goal with our restart plan is to keep as many kids in-person learning and keep the learning continual as we go forward. And even though those cohorts had to stay home for a period of time, the learning has continued. So we're very thankful that that restart plan is in place and working.
Do you think kids are missing out on anything by doing distance learning or by being in the classroom only half-time?
This is Jim Farmer, and I'll answer part of that. You know, I think our teachers working with online students and the students, they're doing the best they can. It definitely isn't a replacement for in-person. There's a need for that direct communication and social aspect of that. But, I think overall they're doing well with it. You know, the goal would be as we progress, more and more of those would be able to return to in-person. But I think overall they're doing a good job, as good as can be expected.
So what's been surprising that you perhaps didn't expect about this year?
So I've talked to a lot of teachers, and before school started, we had quite a few teachers and staff members nervous about this. And now that we've started, they're like, we can do this, and it is just fine. And so I guess that's not really surprising, but it let everyone know that we can do this in a safe, responsible manner. And they like it. They're happy to be back. Kids are happy to be back. So I think that was just really good that you know, sometimes you have to try it, because before you try it, you are a little nervous. And my message to our principals at our last principals meeting is, you know, not if we have to quarantine if someone gets COVID, but when. We have transition plans in place. We have plans for people that quarantine or group. We're very well planned. And so I think no one needs to worry too much about it. We just take each situation and work through it. Does that make sense? And then, Kurt, what do you think has been something?
I don't know that there's been any huge surprises per se, but I would say that, you know, one of the things that maybe we struggle with a little bit is the messaging out there. I mean, as a school district, we're very adamant that if you need to know if you've been exposed, the health and safety of our students and our staff are first and foremost in every situation. And because of HIPAA and some of those things, we really are trying to get that message out. And if there is any exposure at all, we are notifying those people of that quarantine.
What else has been really difficult about doing this?
I think that just the rules change, you know, and I think from the state level, from the national level, I should say, from the state level to the county level, you know, rules continually change. I think change is hard for people. I will commend our students. They adapt and they're very resilient. I will say all of our students are extremely resilient and really adapt quickly. I think we as adults sometimes resist change a little bit, and change is harder for us. And so I think that constant change of whether it's good change or meaning getting back into in-person or having to go the other direction where we change into a distance model, it creates anxiety and it creates challenges. Another challenge I would say is daycare. We've run into, and it puts a huge burden on staff members who have children, but also people who work in our community. When we have to quarantine a group and stay home that next week, you know, they still have to go to work, and daycare becomes a real issue. So that's been a real challenge for some of our families and some of our people in our communities.
Jim or Karen, do you have other things to add that you feel like have been really major challenges to try to deal with?
I would agree with Kurt. I kind of sum it up as consistency, because things do change. And then on our end is with five different communities, just making sure that we have consistency and we're fair with every decision we make. And COVID, because it's ever-changing, has made that job a little harder. But you can tell I'm very collaborative, and we talk through everything and take every situation and talk about it. And eventually we hope that we make the right decision. Also, I would say that we've never lived through a pandemic before, so we're learning every day as well with this. Jim, anything?
You know, I think tied into that are both the students and staff absences this year are a little tricky, because we do, you know, we want people to stay home if they're sick. And at times for staff, for example, you know, a lot of times they would come to work, you know, just try to fight through it and those things. And so there are some federal emergency leave dollars and some things like that that support them. But I think just that challenge of finding that right balance of, you know, when students or staff, when they're sick, they do need to stay home, but also, you know, just how we're going to take care of that as a district.
Does the school district anticipate budget cuts?
So we just received some news from the state. Basically, with education, the economy is rebounding already to a point. We do not anticipate a reduction this year at this time. They call that a rescission. So we're not anticipating a rescission, even though, you know, when we put this year's budget together, we had about a 5% reduction. Hopefully the economy continues to rebound. A worry of ours, we're, you know, a little over 200 students down at this point. We do get to do a five-year average, but being down, you know, students decided to homeschool, or parents did, or they chose a private education option. So we do have some challenges with that. Right now, though, we're not looking at a rescission in the budget.
Are there any high points that you'd like to mention?
You know, I just like to thank our parents out there and our staff members. I think we have a great partnership with our communities out there. And really, we're filled with gratitude. We're excited to be back in school. Probably the hardest, challenging, exciting, rewarding year so far. It's all put in one.
If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Jody Peterson. And today we're checking in with Delta County school administrators, parents, teachers, and students to see how the school year is going during the pandemic. Next, I spoke with Lori Milford, who has a 7-year-old attending North Fork Montessori. I asked her about why they decided to send their son back into the classroom.
My husband and I decided to send him back into the classroom. It was clear to us that he would be happier there, and that where his educational development and emotional health is concerned, he is better off at school. Of course, it's a risk for him and for us, as well as for all of the people who are in those buildings. For my family, it was a risk worth taking, and we manage it actively every day.
So what does that look like, that managing it actively?
75% of the students at our school returned. So let's see, that calculates to 90 students attending in person while 30 are participating in the school's distance learning. Everyone's temperature is taken as they enter the building, and there are many, many, many other safeguards, including pretty specific mask protocol. Everyone in the building is on the front lines of the pandemic, so I want to give great credit to the faculty and staff. They're having to manage classrooms and students tuning in at home, as well as students who are, you know, there in person. I've heard from my son about the teachers taking great care to clean rooms and materials and hold lessons outside. The district has asked families who can to avoid using the bus, so we've been taking our son to school in a carpool with one other specific family. The students are organized into cohorts, which is basically the group of students in a classroom, and the school has organized the day so that students are with that same cohort all day long. Parents and teachers are organizing a fundraising appeal to pay for some of the tools needed to make both in-person and distance learning possible and safer. Shade structures and chairs for outside learning, for example, fans, ventilation systems, personal protection gear for everybody, plus tablets and hotspots for those students who are learning at home. So those are just a few examples of the changes, I guess, that have happened because of the earnest desire on the part of everyone to avoid COVID in our school. And so far, there are no positive cases at this school.
Does it feel like all of those measures are sufficient? Is it enough to give you peace of mind?
Well, the mask protocol wasn't everything that everyone was hoping for. I was one of many people who signed a petition asking for a stronger mask protocol. I would have loved to have seen masks be required for all of the students. Instead, if you're 10 or younger, a mask is encouraged but not required.
That reflects the state guidance.
It does.
From Governor Polis.
It does, exactly. It does mirror the state executive order.
What's it been like learning during the pandemic? Have things changed compared to last year for him and his experience and his learning?
I wouldn't say that everything is fine or the same, because it is a significant change to have all of these concerns and all of these safeguards in place. But I think that the safeguards are easily adapted by the students, including my son. And so it's been a matter of him getting used to those additional actions. And he's doing really well. I would say, you know, as long as we can avoid contracting the coronavirus, that his education is going to pretty much proceed as it would normally. I think that the decision on whether or not to send one's child back into the school building was a deeply personal decision for each and every family. And everybody who had to make this decision had to weigh the risks and benefits of sending their students back. And I was pleased that the district was willing to open the schools and give families the choice between in-person learning and distance learning, even within the state of Colorado. I believe the majority of schools are still closed and that families don't have this choice. I was grateful that we had the choice.
So, Lori, it sounds like things are working okay at your school, but what do you think about the big picture for students and their families?
I'm deeply saddened by the fact that we all have to juxtapose public health against the well-being of children. And my concern is for the kids who are not getting the education, and in many cases, not getting basic care and nutrition. Whether we kept our children home or sent them back to school buildings, I want to stress that we're all in this together. It's a major crisis, a significant hardship. And I would just ask that we all work together to control the pandemic in order to reopen all schools. The whole situation is a tragedy for American children. I know that we'll get to the other side of it, but in the meantime, we're looking at a full year of millions of children being out of school. And we all know this will lead to big trouble and big setbacks in the long run.
And that was Lori Milford, a parent at North Fork Montessori. I also spoke with Sarah Puharich, who's a teacher at the same school and also has a student there. Sarah's family is at high risk from COVID, and so she is on sabbatical from teaching this year, and her fifth grade daughter is doing distance learning. I asked Sarah how online learning was working for her daughter.
I'm having to work really hard at creating those social connections. So the school was wonderful in that they've created some times for her to call in and have some social time with some friends. There's a morning meeting where she gets to call in. But those things actually kind of make her sad sometimes because she really does miss her friends. We're doing a pod kind of learning. I don't know if anyone's talked about this with you yet, but there's a group of, I'm in a group with another parent. And so we're trading so that we can each still work some of the days. And then, so there's at least a social aspect 3 days a week. We've figured out a rotation. So on those days, I make sure that we, you know, play games together and I look through the lessons that are on the, in her classroom and see which ones are I could make into group activities because she definitely misses the peer learning. She misses the social component. And it is hard to see her friends and not be able to be with them. So it is definitely a challenge. And it's definitely requiring a lot from the parents in this model because we're having to, you know, really kind of help guide the process. The teachers are only available to kind of post lessons and once a week we get a check-in, but they're not, you know, they have a group of students in front of them as well. So we as parents are really having to step forward and provide a lot for homeschooling and question and tech problems and all of it. You know, I think that the group of people who've self-selected to do this at home with the distance learning program are parents who can find a way to invest that time. But the school-wide or the district-wide program, the online learning that's happening through the district, I'm not sure if that requires as much of the parents. I think it's much more of, you know, just kind of helping your kid continue and finish and make sure they're finishing. But I don't think it requires quite as much orchestration.
But I would imagine, you know, like you were saying, your daughter really misses her friends. And I would imagine that for online learning, it's also just harder in general for kids to really feel engaged in that.
Yes, I think. And my daughter talks about that, too. You know, there's a big difference between reading directions versus getting a lesson from a person in front of you that's dynamic and in real time where you can ask questions and debate things or, you know, discuss them. It is definitely a truncated version of what I think education can be.
If you kind of step back from the immediate situation and just sort of look at like how this year is and the fact that probably we'll be doing this for another year or more, do you think that's going to have a long-term impact on the children?
Yes. I mean, I think it's already having a long-term impact. I think it's, you know, I think this whole process for kids has been very confusing, especially the kids who are you know, somewhere above 4 or 5. I think that they're having to adapt and they're having to cope with a lot. This is a friend of mine who works as a doctor put it as, there's a way that we're grieving. We're all grieving right now. And, you know, it's not about the death of a person. It's about the loss of a whole life style. We've taken this turn, and I feel like there's a lot that kids are dealing with that wouldn't be their normal levels of stress and anxiety and sadness and longing. And so I feel like already it's taken a toll. And if it does continue for 2 years, which is possible, it's going to change, I think, how they interact. And I think it's going to also change education. And I worry about that. I do worry about that because, like I said, I don't feel like this is as rich of an experience. It doesn't address the whole child in the way that a classroom does. It doesn't, it's harder to teach those sort of social skills as well as just life skills and interact with someone as a human being when you only see them. You know, the teacher in my daughter's class is seeing her for like 15 minutes a day tops. And that's just not the same thing at all. There's a lot that happens in that relationship with teacher and student that is really dynamic. That's about having another adult in your life who cares about you. And for kids who have challenges in their home life, I think it's also going to be very challenging if and when the schools do have to quarantine and send everyone back to distance learning or online learning in some form, because those kids, school is a relief for some kids. It's and I know for most kids, it's a social fun place to be, even if it's challenging academically. So I worry about the long-term effects for kids who have challenges in their home life. And I worry about the teachers. I mean, I am getting things back from my daughter's teachers on the weekend at odd hours of the night. Like, they are really working a lot right now. And I don't know how they will maintain. I don't know how I could have maintained, to be honest. I really commend them, and I worry about their mental health and their physical health because of the stress of adding on another couple of layers, honestly. Like, they're not just having to teach kids at home and teach kids in the classroom. They're also having to sort of manage this whole, you know, spread of infectious disease in the classroom. It's, my heart goes out to them. I also worry that this is going to have a long-term impact, that they're going to, that this might become more of a norm. One of the things that school does is educate the masses. And there is a way that if the brick and mortar schooling model is diminished in funding or diminished in staffing, or if it becomes too difficult to hold teachers there, because of the intense workload of having to double task this, I worry that we're not going to have the same quality of thinking and the ability to analyze. I mean, what school offers is a chance to use your brain in a different way, to really push yourself and learn how to expand your own knowledge base. It gives you a chance to look at the world and consider, is that true, and learn how to do that process. And if we truncate brick and mortar, I worry that those higher level skills of thinking and analysis won't be modeled for kids young enough. I mean, that is the art of what teaching is to teach people how to think, and not what to think, but how to question and how to wonder and how to think outside the box.
And that was Sarah Puharich, a teacher and parent at North Fork Montessori School. That concludes this episode of Local Motion. You can find this program and many others at kvnf.org. Thanks for listening.